Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good day, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good middle of the night, whatever time of day, whatever day of the week, whatever week of the month it is. Welcome to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. Always a pleasure to be with you, and I'm always honored that you would choose to give me a little bit of your time, about a half an hour of your life, to tune in, dial in, and embrace the power of love. To be alive to love is to be alive to those things that are higher than BS. You know what BS is, right? Yeah, I know you know. But I like to relate it to bait and switch. We are all living in love, or we're all baiting and switching. We're all, in some form or another, involved in those two pursuits, either living our truest self through love. Or we're doing BS. We're just doing whatever it takes to just slide along and fool people into thinking we care. It's time to rise and shine. Don't you agree, folks? It's a new year. 2023 is when I'm taping this. And I just want to encourage you to be alive to love. To know that lesser values than love devolve into shame and blame, manipulation, and bait and switch. Or BS. So let's dive in today. Today's lesson, I'm looking forward to it. It's a part of my book that I'm writing on love. I will surely tell you about that when it's published. But right now I'm going to read a little bit from the rough draft to give you an idea of where the book is going and where my life is going. I've been on this pursuit, hot pursuit of this topic of love for not just 4 years, which has been the lion's share of my pursuit. But in the last 50 years of my life, I've known that love has to be understood and unpacked and grappled with and wrestled with by all of us. I know that Jesus said it's just this one thing. By this shall all know that you're my disciples. Well, if it's that one thing and that one thing is love, shouldn't we be diving into that with all the gusto and the eager heart that would give us real, sharp, and significant and black and white clues as to how to manage life through love? But before I get too far down the road and forget about love's creed, this is something I wrote that we repeat here week in and week out on the No BS Bishop. Here it is in total. Then I'll go back and I'll repeat it to you like I would a wedding vows at a marriage altar. But first, let me read it in total. And I want you to savor the values that are in these words. All right, here it is. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. And as I said, savor those words. And now, as I have you repeat it as a creed, like a creed that you would repeat in church, I want you to savor it in phrase at a by a time, one small slice at a time. All right, here we go. You repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing and eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Savor that, would you? If you want that on a a full written slate, give me a shout on my email, randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be happy to type it up and send it to you. And I would encourage you to put it on a 3x5 card and hang it on your mirror in the morning when you shave or put on your makeup or getting ready for your day, or put it on the dashboard or the sun visor of your car. Remind yourself of what it means to be really alive and alive for the highest and most pertinent value in the human condition. So here's some of my rough draft from my book on love, and it starts this way. Love strategically positions itself as a filter through which we can see the realities that are before us and coming at us. See, I believe that love becomes a filter that will demand and command my obedience for compassion, even when foolishness is happening at my expense. You know what that is, right? Foolishness. It's people acting outside of intelligent contemplation. It's folks that, and we are part of it too. We all do it at some form or another. It's as they say, we're shooting off our mouth and we got no target to really aim at. We're just not engaged mentally or are on some kind of empathetic way. When foolishness is happening at my expense, love can become a filter through which I see what's happening. So what I'm doing with that filter, that love filter that commands my attention, I ask myself, what's the love loss of this person? What losses in love have they suffered that shapes their behavior to this kind of behavior? So how often, I put it this way, how often have they been dropped on their emotional head to create such a broken action? You know, and that can entail an awful lot of actions in the human condition. What is this broken action? And what is the root of this broken action? What are the series of stumbles they've endured in their journey in life, whether it's by intention or not, and their journey that brought them right to my presence, and now they're behaving foolishly at my expense? You see, I believe the filter of love and my obedience to that filter will restructure what I'm witnessing, keeps me consistently aware that there's no one moment happening in isolation from 100,000, maybe a million preceding moments leading up to the now. You see, we're all in some form of journey in our life. Love is a journey. Love is a pilgrimage. Love is a race, not a dash, but a marathon. But it's also an understanding that nothing that is happening to me right now is happening in isolation from 100,000 to a million preceding moments that lead up to this person who may be behaving badly in my presence. So that then love, as my filter, is also a telescope into time. And it's also a microscope. So it's a telescope because there's a need for me to see way back in time, perhaps. But it's also a microscope to see every molecule being shaped by a relentless passage of time that's happening to every one of us. I want you to remember that. This is happening to all of us. We're all, in some form or another, having been shaped by where we've been. And we've been shaped by how many people around us who have been shaped in faulty ways all around us. And all of those shapes and those ghosts, if you will, that press and compress people's attitudes and behaviors are creating a moment that we stand in. And it's a potential loveless moment. So it's very important. It's absolutely incumbent upon us to be structured and to be filtered with the power of love. Here's something I want you to think about too. It's not about whether we want to function from some kind of curriculum or not. You know, we all say, no, I don't want to operate out of some kind of script in life. But the truth is, we are all operating from a form of curriculum. We all have had a program of brokenness and dysfunction, or a program of love. And a combination of all those three, brokenness and dysfunction and love, can happen to us at varying times in the wide world around us. But the truth is, we're all being shaped by it. We're all being taught by the things that are happening around us, to us, and through us. So we're either living in our love losses, or we're living in love and its overarching design for life. Those are the choices we make every day. Am I living in my losses of love? Am I living out of the disappointments and the hurts and the pains and the brokenheartedness? Now, to be very precise about it, we are all having to manage that in large ways or small ways all the time. I can always get caught in a memory of a love loss, and I could lose an hour, I could lose 10 minutes, I could lose a whole day, but it's important to keep the love filter on in my thinking and to remind myself, hold on, Randy, hang on a minute, buddy. You're spending too much time wallowing in the swamps of your love losses. So we're either living in a curriculum of love loss or a curriculum of love and its overarching design for life. A great theologian that I admire, just a terrific writer and theologian, Richard Rohr, says, there's a part of you and there's a part of me that is love itself. And that is what we must fall into. It's already there. Once you move your identity to that level of a deep inner contentment, you'll realize that you're drawing upon a life that is much larger than your own and out of a deeper abundance. That is so good. I want to read that again. This is Richard Rohr. He's a theologian and an author that I have high respect for. Richard Rohr says this, there's a part of you that is love itself. There's all of us have some instinct, some internal, you know, reality that's always been there, and it's love itself. And that is what we must fall into consistently. It's already there. You don't have to find love and put it in there. You've got love down inside of you somewhere. That's me. Now go back to Richard Rohr. Sorry. And once you move your identity to that level of a deep inner contentment, you will realize that you're drawing upon a life that is much larger than your own and out of a deeper abundance. Oh, that is so rich and so real. It inspired me, and I wrote this, I don't know if it's a sonnet or a poem or just a little bit of prose, but what Richard Rohr wrote there inspired me to this prose. To that part of me where love lives, to the serenity of what love gives, with my prayer alive to love, and my soul moving with love, I am shaped. I am still. I am loved. I love, and I find my will. See, there is in everyone, to that part of me where love really is still there. I'm still loving. I could have disappointments and pains and miseries and foolishness, as I said at the start of this broadcast. I can have all kinds of foolishness behaving out in front of me that injure me, disappoint me, or push me off an edge of emotional despair. But the truth is, I'm still alive to love down in there somewhere. To that part of me where love still lives, to the serenity of what love gives, to with my prayer alive to love, with my soul moving with love, I am shaped, I am still. I am loved, I love, and I find my will. Those last words there, and I find my will, is so key to what I'm after here today. To find your will, the will to love, the will to live, the will to arise, the will to keep going, the will to fight forward, the will to decide that I'm worth being loved and I'm worth giving love. It's to find out inside of you, at that deep part of you where love lives, to find a will. I think the most powerful act of construction in the human existence is our will. Now, the love is the priority of our will. But boy, when our will is set against anything, we're in trouble. And when our will has said, I'm against this, I'm against that, I'm fighting them and I'm fighting those and I refuse to do, all of those willful things inside of us become really a barricade to love, because love says, all right, I don't understand what's happening in those people. I don't see it myself from their perspective, but I choose the filter. Remember the filter of love. Then I'm going to see life through the filter of love, and I'm going to watch and see what may be the injuries of those around me that are causing them to behave foolishly around me. But out of that filter, I have a will in there. And it's my will that is tested, right? It's my will to live. It's my will to love that gets tested. The will. Man, oh man, oh man. It's what God gave every human being, a will to choose. But in that will, I have often said it this way. People talk about, well, you can't change a person's will. And they're really right. But I'll tell you what, I know God's will is greater than human will. And God's will is this. God is love, and love is God. He who dwells in God dwells in love, and those who dwell in love dwell in God. 1 John chapter 4. When we recognize that the will of God is like an elephant up against a mouse as compared to the will of human beings, the elephant of God's will, I've said this before a few times. You know, where does a thirsty elephant go to get water? Anywhere that elephant wants to. Another way to put it, when an elephant's on its way to water, when an elephant can smell and sense there's a water pool nearby and that elephant is thirsty, what gets in the way of a thirsty elephant? Nothing. Nothing. And nothing can get in the way of the will of God to be done, because God's will is this. God is love, and love is God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. And God's will overcome human will. Molecule by molecule, moment by moment. I've told people that, you know, they're maybe facing the last moments of their life, or maybe they've lost a loved one that has had a rough go, a rough patch in this life. And they say, well, what's going to happen in that last moment when I close my eyes in death? What's next? And I say to them, I always believe this. I believe this with every molecule of my body. I believe that when we open our eyes after we die, we will open our eyes into the face of the most magical, beautiful, charmed, colorful, deep, significant, powerful, majestic love you could ever imagine. To imagine a love that is as enormous and striking as the Grand Canyon times a million. That's the love you'll see when your eyes open after death. To imagine a love that is as vast as the universe. We live in a time when we're getting to see into the universe like no humans have ever dreamed to see. With the James Webb telescope that's a million miles out there in space, and it's gathering light molecules by the trillions, and it's sending pictures back to us. The phenomenon of what we see out there is only a slice of the real universe. Now, we need to have the eyes that see. Remember the love filter I talked about earlier. To have a love filter that looks into the world of love. And when we say, what will happen to me or to my loved ones when they die? I believe you will close your eyes to this path and open your eyes to the next path. And your eyes will look into the majesty and the infinite significance of love looking back at you. And there will be no room for fear in that moment, because perfect love, and that'll be perfect love, baby. Perfect love casts out fear. You see, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. So that when I'm considering why people behave in a certain manner toward me, at some point in their life, fear has dominated their spectrum of living. Fear dominates their thought processes, their meditations. Fear has become their curriculum. So it's incumbent upon me to let my curriculum be love, to see to it that perfect love casts out fear, if no other place to cast it out than out of me, so that I am not managed by or controlled by the fears of somebody who's coming up into my space. May my love be the love of God, creating for them a grander, greater scope of life than just misery. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. Well, I am so grateful that you showed up here today and you're giving me a half an hour of your life and time. I don't take that lightly. I take it with the true gravity of love. Because, see, I am convinced that I'm not here to address large groups of people all at once. I believe my calling in life is to sit with one person at a time to listen and to love. And so you gave me that opportunity so that in a radio manner, I could listen and love. And hopefully you were able to listen and love as well. We close the No BS Bishop Alive to Love with two practices that I am committed to in my life. I'm not just making this up. This is so important. And the first practice is to breathe well. So when we're in stress or when we find ourselves in, you know, in those moments of life when we just don't know what to say, what to do, how to behave, how to manage what's going on. One thing we all have to do moment by moment, we gotta breathe. I mean, that's one thing every human being's gonna do while they're in this path of life. So breathing well is living well at some health point of reference. So on the count of three, I'm gonna have you take the deepest breath you can, put your feet flat on the floor, sit up as straight as you can, put away any distraction, maybe close your eyes. And on the count of three, draw a breath in down to the diaphragm, down to that place around your belt line, and push that air into your lungs as far as you can and hold it for just a brief second. All right, on the count of three, one, two, three, inhale. Hold it. Hold it. And exhale. Do that 5 minutes in every day, especially when your day is crushing, especially when you feel your day is just out of control, especially when you're not sure what to do with your day. Breathe. Stop and breathe. Do yourself the favor of getting into some better rhythm than short breaths and the stress. You know, a doctor will tell you when you're in some form of ongoing stress, you're not breathing deep. You're breathing shallow, less than rhythmic ways, and it's not healthy for you. It's good to breathe, baby. It's good to breathe. The second practice we do here, every No BS Bishop, is that I want you to learn how to find somebody and look them in the eye. Give them your full attention for just a brief moment and slow the three most charmed, magical, poetic words in the human language down. Slow them down. Down to this. I love you. You know, it's awkward. We're not good at intimacy. None of us are. I'm growing, but I'm still not good at it. But we have the opportunity in this life with other human beings who are there as struggling forward as we all are. And we're fighting for our breath. We're fighting for emotional health. And to get some kind of bearing, it's important to know that somebody, somewhere, has said the three most charmed words in the human language to you, directly to you. They've said, I love you. So I want you to find somebody. If there's somebody near you now, give them those three words. If not right now, make a point, make it a priority on your to-do list for today. Find somebody and say, I love you. And I want you to hear me say it from this No BS Bishop. I'm not BSing you. I'm not trying to bait and switch you out of anything. I'm not doing anything except wanting to give you the high ground of love. I love you. It's been such a treasure and a pleasure for you to be here with me for this half an hour of time. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I long to just continue this journey of love. I'm not perfect at it. I've made my fair share of mistakes, but I know this. I'm going to learn from my mistakes, and I'm going to grow, and I'm going to get better and not bitter. I'm going to rise and shine. I'm not going to stay fallen. I've told people many times, if I ever stumble and fall, okay, I'm human. Now watch me get up. And when I get up, I want you to know I'm alive to love. Now go out there and do something beautiful. Oh, yes, please. Why? Because ugly has been done to death. It's time for people of love to do something beautiful. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.